Last week, we changed gears. We had been talking about the ministry of reconciliation. And we did a pretty thorough study on that. And now, last week, we went into discovering the pursuit of holiness. And there's a CD back there. If you weren't here last week and you want to listen to it, you can do that. The website is down, but the notes will be on there. If you look into the audio section, they'll be. If you look up the Pursuit of Holiness, I will have the notes up there soon. So this will be the same thing. You don't need the notes, but hopefully as we go on and we teach, then other folks will want the notes. So, real Christianity is about what? It's about changing your life, right? Yeah. It's not about a group to fellowship with. It's not about a social club. It's not just about religion. The world's got plenty of religions. And the central part of the disciples' cross, didn't Jesus say, what did Jesus say? He said, take up what? Your cross and do what? Follow me, not lead me, follow me. And the central part of the disciples' cross is the practice of holiness, which, when it's presented in the believer's life, indicates a couple of things. It indicates, number one, that there has been a change taken place. Now, holiness is inward and outward. God starts on the inside, and he cleans your spirit up. I was very happy. Brother Al was testifying to me last night. He had gone to a family celebration, and he had not seen these people for the last 6 years, I believe it was, and they came up to him and saying, what has happened to you? So he got to testify to them about the things of God a little bit. And that's awesome. That's awesome. And it's indication that there's a real change that takes place. People are tired of dead, dry religion. You know, why do you think a lot of these churches are fading away? Because it seems that there's no life. But in addition, it also glorifies God. And holiness also has the effect of testifying to others around you. So we don't need to be stealth Christians. You see some of the so-called Christian jewelry that they have. They got a nail or they got this. Or they want to be stealth Christians. They just kind of want to be cool. Well, you don't have to be cool. You just got to be a child of God. And sometimes the devil will get all stirred up. What does the Bible say? Who's going to suffer persecution? All that live godly are going to suffer persecution. So you can expect that some people are not going to be happy. They're going to call you names. They're going to tell you you're holier than thou. Are you telling me I'm going to hell? All kinds of crazy stuff. You just have to ignore it and understand that they don't have the proper biblical concepts that you're going to understand as we go through these things. Now, it's possible to keep the rules and the habits, for example, like practices of Bible study, prayer, tithing, fellowship, through sheer human effort. However, the habit of holiness, especially the inside, it's easy to keep the outside. Anybody can go to a clothing store, right? But who can change the inside? Only God can change the inside. And God, along with what? Our cooperation. We got to cooperate with the Lord in changing. Okay, so these things can only be manifested through the enabling of the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to talk about 12 principles of biblical holiness. And we start with principles. And then later on, we'll move on to perhaps some applications. It's kind of like a guy that wants to play the piano. How many of you can play the piano? I can't play the piano. I think I could if I... I tried, honestly. Years ago, my wife was trying to teach me, and I was learning some stuff, but I just had too many other things to do. But I think if I actually sat down and tried, maybe not now with my fingers, but years ago, I believe I could have learned it. But you just can't. I can't go there and just start playing the piano. What do you have to do? You've got to learn how the notes are structured, how the little, what do they call that, the scales. Right, Daisel? Daisel was working on playing the piano. How far have you gotten? Not too far, huh? Okay, well, get with Sister E and keep trying. Amen? But we just can't sit down and play a song. It's just like living for God and being what the Lord wants us to be. We're not just going to, you know, get the Holy Ghost and be what God wants us to be. It doesn't work that way. There's a learning process. Sometimes the learning process is very long. Right? Some people adapt quicker than other people. And let me explain to you about holiness. Holiness is not based on rules and regulations. It's based on a walk with the Lord. And it's based on your understanding. And as you begin to understand, you follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost will lead you. And if you decide you don't want to be led by the Holy Ghost, that's when an issue comes in. But if there's things you don't understand, things that you've not come to grips with yet, I really wouldn't worry about it. Because the Lord will lead us and guide us. Amen? Amen? Somebody got to say amen, because that's the truth. The problem is when we have people that try to push us before we're ready. And that's where it can be a problem. Number one, principle number one. The Bible teaches us what? That holiness is one of the basic what of God's nature. Anybody? It's basic characteristic of God's nature. Psalms 99 and verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. There's other scriptures. The Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God does not have holiness. You realize that, right? God does not have holiness. God is holy. He is holiness. And if we reject holiness, what are we rejecting?
His character.
His character, right. So when you say you want to be like Jesus, everybody ever pray that prayer or sing that song, to be like Jesus? Well, if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to take on some of the characteristics of God. You know, not every characteristic of God is attainable for us. Can anybody say some of the characteristics that are not attainable? How about omniscience? Does everybody know what omniscience is? He knows everything. You may act like a know-it-all, but you're not. Right? How about omnipotent? Does anybody understand what the term omnipotent means? All-powerful. We're not all-powerful. But there are other characteristics of the Spirit of God that we can take on. So the things that are attainable, we want to attain. Number two, personal holiness is absolutely essential to maintaining what? Maintaining our salvation. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, you can see God? No, that's not what it says. Without peace and holiness. Now, don't forget, there's two things involved here. Peace and holiness. God's not into rabble-rousers that cause trouble. Just because He says, go preach the word, doesn't mean we have to be nasty about it. Cause division, cause problems. Some people do that just for the sake of causing issues. But He tells us to live in peace with all men and be holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you to be His children. Now you understand that God chose you, right? Okay, so when you feel unworthy, anybody ever feel unworthy? Okay, remember that God chose you. And along with that, God loves you. And as those of us that are parents, we understand as children grow, we have to love them even if they don't do right, even if they do some wrong things. We love them. We try to guide them. That's what God's going to do to you. That's what he's going to do to me. And it says, who chose you to be his children, God is holy, for he himself says, you must be holy, for I am holy. Now, principle number three, holiness involves both the negative concept and a positive concept. The negative concept is separation. Nobody likes to be different. Everybody likes to fit in. Well, most everybody. I never really cared to fit in, so it really didn't bother me. But some people have a real problem with this because they don't want to be different. So look at 2 Corinthians 6:17 to 7:1. The Lord also says, leave them and stay away. Don't touch anything that isn't clean. Then I will welcome you and be your father. You will be my sons and my daughters as surely as I am God, the all-powerful. My friends, God has made us these promises. So we should stay away from everything that keeps our bodies and spirits from being clean. We should honor God and try to be completely like him. Now, what kind of things would keep your body and your spirit from being clean? Any suggestions? Money could, yeah. For some people, money, that's why they can't be blessed. What's some other things? What's that? I didn't hear you. Possessions. Yeah, some people are really drugged down by having because they get full of pride. And what does the Bible say about pride? Pride cometh before a fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. That's why some people will never be blessed. Some other things that keep your body and spirit from being clean. Drunkenness. Adultery. Drugs. So, you know, there is that separation point. But not only separation, but the next one is dedication. And if you look at Romans 12:1, and this is from the New Living Translation, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your spirits to God. Oh, it didn't say that. It said, give our bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much for it to ask? Okay, real holiness involves the inside and the outside. So he asks for our bodies and our spirits too, really. Number four, principle number four. The power to live a holy life does not come from our flesh, but where does it come from? The Holy Ghost, yeah. That's why it's important. It's so important. You know, I can't stress it enough. When we have our altar service, be in the altar, pray, let the preaching, let the Spirit just affect you. Because that's where change from. Not change, that's where change comes from, excuse me. The King James says it like this. He said, I beseech you, brethren, this Romans 12:1-2, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Where does your mind get renewed? Your mind get renewed. Most of the time, you got to admit this, your mind is renewed at the altar. You hear the preaching go forth, God touches you, you respond to the moving of the Holy Ghost, and God renews your mind. Right? Is there another copy we can give Leo? I've got my computer set to print another one, so. Rick's got two. You guys have one whole copy? Okay. Okay, that's good. All right, so 2 Timothy, and we're on page number 2, number 4, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Hold on to the pattern. of right teaching that you learned from me, and remember to live in the faith and the love that you have in Jesus Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard what has been entrusted to you. Now, we are motivated to live holy lives not merely by enforced rules, but by what? Our love for what? Our love for God. Right? For example, let's take the marriage relationship. There are rules to a marriage relationship. Just ask your wife. You do something that she don't like, and you tell me that there's not rules to the marriage relationship. Right? Right from... my mother told me a story. My father used to leave. He used to come home and get undressed in the living room, leave his clothes all around. One day she threw him out down the apartment stairs. We don't live like that. Well, there's other ways that you don't live too. So, you know, there are rules to the relationship. Don't let that fool you. But the foundation is what? Love. My father cooperated with my mother. Why? Because he loved her. And that was very evident when she died. He was terribly broken. Now, 1 John 5 and 3. This is the love of God, to obey commands. And his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said in John, I believe it's John 14, 35. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the Holy Ghost will talk to you many times and impress on you. And you have to listen to the Lord. Psalms 25 and verse 10. NIV. All the ways of the Lord are loving for those who keep his demands of a covenant. You understand that we are in covenant with God, right? So if the Lord gives you a covenant, he expects himself to fulfill his end, and he expects us to fulfill our end. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And how can we be sure that we belong to him? By obeying his commandments. If someone says, I belong to God, and doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and does not live in truth. That's pretty tough, isn't it? That's from the NIV. But those who obey God's word really do love him. That is the way to know whether or not we live in him. And I've said often, some people have the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost don't have them. Right? We not only want to have the Holy Ghost, we want the Holy Ghost to have us, to be led by the Spirit. What does the Bible say? If you're led by the Spirit, there's no condemnation. Amen. Number six, God gives us three holiness teachers to show us how to live a life that pleases him. Three holiness teachers. Can you tell me what those three teachers are? One is the Bible. One is the Bible. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. God, Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. He made the church holy by the power of his word, so that he would have a glorious and holy church. Sister Annie, do you need a bottle of water? Would that help? You have one, okay. So he would have a glorious and holy church without faults or spots or wrinkles or any other flaws. What would the second one be? Spiritual what? Leadership. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. What ministry is that? The ministry of reconciliation. So what your spiritual leadership is supposed to do, and I would fall under the category of a spiritual leader, is equip you to help with the ministry of reconciliation, which is reconciling people that are angry with God, that are lost, back to God. That's what we're supposed to do. For the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the edification? What is edification? Anybody, what's edification? To edify. Nope. To build up. A ministry that tears down the church is not God's ministry. The ministry is supposed to build up the church. For the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, they may grow up in all things to be into him who is the head, Christ. So what would be the third teacher? Anybody? The Holy Ghost, absolutely. This is the new covenant, and that's Jeremiah 31, I believe. No, Hebrews 10:16, but it's from Jeremiah 31. This is the new covenant I will make with my people, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts so they will understand them, and I will write them in their minds so they will obey them. Anybody ever have the Lord tell you to do something and talk to you about something and you don't do it? Everybody has that. We have to learn to be obedient to the Lord, whether it's in witnessing, whether it's in living, whether it's in prayer, a lot of different things. We have to learn that voice of the Lord. And I've given you this example before. I'll give it to you again. When we first moved in this building, I wanted to take a picture of that stained glass. I went to stand on the pew and I felt the Lord speak to me, "Get a ladder." And I said, "I'm just going to do this." And I fell down, hurt myself, couldn't hardly walk for 3 months. Then the time I cut my hand. So I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? No. We're not perfect, but we need to strive for perfection, the Bible says. We need to grow. Number 7, our righteous works are not what? Of us receiving salvation. What's that? Nope. The first one is the righteous works are not the means of, you are not saved by works. But they should be what? They should be the result of receiving salvation. In other words, we live holy not to be saved. We live holy because we are saved. You got to get that in your mind. Holiness is not your salvation. Jesus is our salvation. Holiness is the response, our response to salvation. Very important. Many times people will come to you, "Oh, you're so holy. You think that you can be saved by what you do." No, we don't think that. We respond to God. And that's the proper result. Ephesians 2:8-10. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that of not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should do" what? Walk in them. God has ordained that we should walk in good works. That's what the scripture says. But again, we're saved how? By the grace of God, through faith. Not by works. Now, faith requires obedience, right? This is why you can be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost and be born again, and that's not of your own works, because you're obeying the Word of God. And that's faith. Faith is obedience. Is it not? You know, we've gone through this many times. What is faith? I'm going to believe really, 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 really hard that God's going to give me a new Mercedes on my granite countertop. Right? No, that's not faith. Faith would say, Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. You see the thing there, the relationship there? You're praying for a blessing, but you've got to pray by faith. For example, in the giving thing, it says, give and you shall be given. Luke 6:38, I believe it is. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men. So if you want to be blessed, you got to bless. Right? That's why that if you read the first section of this, it included tithing and holiness, tithing and fellowship and prayer and Bible study. That's why that can be in there, because part of holiness is obeying God. And if you can't obey God, because it's a lack of faith. Titus 3:5-8, not by works, and I preached on this Sunday, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Anybody, since you got the Holy Ghost, need the mercy of God in your life? Sure. Well, maybe not all the time, but oops, excuse me, cramp in my leg. Anybody ever get those? But these things will I affirm constantly, which that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Number 8. The Bible teaches that a genuine Christian will exhibit a noticeable witness when internal holiness is present in the heart. Internal. Everybody say, on the inside. On the inside. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Everything that's on the outside comes from the inside. If the inside is not straight, doesn't matter what the outside is, because the outside's not in alignment either. Like I said, anybody can go to a clothing store, but not anybody can change the inside. The Holy Ghost has got to change the inside. James 2:14-24, or 14 and 24. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? What kind of faith? That kind of faith can't save anybody. It isn't enough just to have faith. Faith doesn't show itself by good deeds, or faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It's dead and useless. I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds, but I will show you my faith through my good deeds. So see, we are made right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Again, not just by believing. You have to respond to the Word. Not read the Word. Respond to the Word. Not saying amen, but doing what the Word says to do. Okay, 3 components of holiness. Bible principles are eternal. Bible principles are unchanging. Objective truth that we have got to live by. Can anybody think of some objective truths that we can't say we're not going to do that and be right with God? Water. How about something simpler? The 10 commandments. Exactly, Brother Rick. Thou shalt not steal. Which of you by stealing can be saved? The New Testament covenant did not negate the 10 commandments, for example. Right? It's still wrong to steal. It's still wrong to commit adultery. It's still wrong to covet. It's still wrong to have idolatry. Personal convictions, internal, scriptural principles that you personally apply to your life. What would something like that be? Anybody understand what a personal conviction would be? A conscience. Let's use this very simple example. I can drive a brand new car and not worship that car. Some people, if they drove a brand new car, every day they would be worshiping that car. Cleaning it. You ever seen people like that? It's like that's their God. Right. So God may speak to me and say, you value that car more than me, so I don't want you to drive a brand new car. Could, if God spoke that to you, could God do that? Sure he could. Okay? But you couldn't go and say, well, Pastor, because I can't handle having a new car, you cannot drive one. You're going to go to hell if you drive that car. See, that's a personal conviction. It's something that's not biblically wrong, but it's wrong for you. If you remember, the scripture says, lay aside the weights and the sins. That would be a weight. A standard for living, external. Okay, what would a standard of living be? Let's see. Jonathan, if I paid your rent, would you go live in downtown Newark? I mean, in the really bad part where they shoot everybody. Even if I paid for it, you wouldn't go. Because your standards are higher. I'm not going to live where somebody's going to kill me. Okay, everybody has standards. Some are lower than others. If I told somebody else, would you go? And they might say, sure, if you're going to pay my rent, I'll live anywhere. Right? Seriously. But take that and put it somewhere else. Everybody has standard of living. Like Daisel, if I bought you a pair of short shorts, you know, those real short shorts, would you wear them? No, she's not going to wear them. Why? Because you're not going to see me in those things. Okay, so everybody has different standards and personal code of Christian ethics. Now, those things really just need to be biblically based. Some have personal convictions that override the scripture. They can have that. I don't care. But our external standards should be what the Word says. Now, three elements, components of holiness. And let me make sure I'm not going to run way over here. Does anybody know what time it is? 8:42. So let me look here. Just give me 1 second. Okay, just very quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've got a lot of material still yet to go through. Bible, three elements, components of holiness. Bible principles, personal convictions. What is convictions? You know, I'm going to let you read that. That's going to be good. It's going to be a reference for you. It's going to be a reference for you. So take that, look at it. Don't just make a paper airplane out of it and fly it somewhere and say, yeah, that's what I think about all this stuff. But the word standard, going to page number 5 now. The word standard is simply defined in the dictionary as a simple test for determining the authenticity of something intangible. Holiness standards, therefore, are not the principal part of holiness, but they are an external sign of what an authentic work of salvation has taken place. Let's use an example. I don't know if you know this, but many years ago there was a big fire in Baltimore, Maryland. And the fire was so large they sent firemen from New York. And they came to help with their equipment, but they had a problem. The fire hydrants and the hoses were not the same size. So they were no help. So their hoses would not, and that's where they got the standardization of hydrant and hoses. You can go anywhere in the United States when you see a fire hydrant, they're all the same. Okay, but they made a standardization. Now, number 9. There are three kinds of standards for Christian living. Holiness standard, that God expects every what kind of Christian to adhere to? Nope, hang on. What kind of Christian should adhere to these things? Mature. Mature. If you're a mature Christian, you should be willing to let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Amen? Number 1 would be what kind of standards? Bible. These are life principles that are explicitly commanded in the Word of God. They demand obedience. Upon salvation, what would that be? Let's just use a real simple example of that. How about fornication? Everybody understand what fornication is? Okay? When a person gets in church, what should they immediately, without a doubt, stop doing? Quit chasing them girls. Right? That's a very simple thing. If you're robbing banks, you need to quit being a bank robber. Right? These principles are non-negotiable for all. You can't look at Jesus and say, I'm just going to rob two more banks and that's going to be it, Jesus. Or I'm just going to chase another 30 days, Lord. I'm going to chase them wild women. That's all I'm going to do. I won't do it after 30 days now. No, you can't do that. These are things that are immediately apparent to everybody. In regards to these commands, there should be no difference of opinion. Again, we could use the very simple Ten Commandments here to say that. The new believer should obey them immediately. Fornication, lying, drunkenness. If we're lying, we need to quit being liars. Right? Second one would be church standards. These are life principles that are established by spiritual leadership to deal with practical applications of spiritual, scriptural principles in the modern situation. They are usually understood and implemented gradually as a believer matures. We do not expect a newborn convert to have all these things in their life. They have to grow into Christ. The third one is personal standards. Personal standards. These are life principles, again, that are prompted by the Holy Ghost as an individual in an individual life due to the unique background of each believer. Amen? These will never contradict those standards established by the pastor that God has given you. Personal convictions are above and beyond what the church already teaches. So there are many levels of what? In God's family. This, we really have to understand this part. There are many levels of maturity. Many levels of maturity in the church. This is why it can be so hard to teach. And this is why maybe one day we'll have several different classes going on. Because there are many different levels. Again, we use the example of a baby in Christ. You can't feed the baby in Christ a hot dog. That's worse than a steak. You know, if you put a hot dog in a dump and go back a year later, it's still going to look like a hot dog? That's scary. That baby can't digest that. That's harder than steak. So there are many levels of maturity, and just like a natural family, and each member is valuable to God in their present stage. You're valuable to God wherever you are in the Lord. You understand that, right? Come here, Danny. I'm going to use you for an example. Come here. Come on, Danny. We're going to have some fun. We're going to use Danny. How old are you now, Danny?
Six.
You're 6 years old. Well, I want you to be 30, okay? Come on. Throw. I can't do that, can I? It has to come naturally. So a believer has to mature naturally, has to grow naturally. Before long, he's going to want his driver's license. He'll be 30 before too long, and we'll be in canes, right? Okay, you can go ahead and go. Was that fun? Okay, so we cannot force people to mature. We should not try to force people to mature. Amen. Romans 15, 1 through 2. If our faith is strong, we should be patient with the Lord's followers whose faith is weak. We should try to please them instead of ourselves. We should think of their good and try to help them. Okay, so if somebody's faith is weak and they are not following what they ought to be following, what do? Run them off? No. We let them mature. Right? Matthew 18 and 6, Jesus said, "It will be terrible for people who cause even one of my little followers to sin. Those people would be better off thrown into the deepest part of the ocean with a heavy stone tied around their necks." And we don't have any problem with that here. So we're doing real good like that. We give people space. Amen. That's good. You have to give people space and let them develop. Some people will develop much quicker than other folks. Some folks, it looks like they're never going to develop. But all of a sudden, they blossom and bloom. So we just have to let that be a work of the Holy Ghost. Brother Rick, we have to have faith in the working of the Holy Ghost, because we cannot change people. The Holy Ghost has to change people. Number 11, principle number 11. The more mature I become in my lifestyle of holiness, the more God can use me. Now, you may not agree with that, but look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, the NLT. And you may say, well, I know some people don't live holy and God uses them. Well, you know, the Bible says the devil has his own signs and lying wonders too, so don't count on that. So let's read that. God's truth stands firm like a foundation of stone with this inscription: "The Lord knows those who are His. And those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from all, from some wickedness?" No, they've got to turn away from all wickedness. "Some utensils are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. The cheap ones for everyday use." Now notice what he says here in the yellow. "If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use for every good work." So if we can keep our lives where they should be in the Lord, God can use us a little bit more. Instead of being a vessel of clay and a vessel of wood, we'll be a vessel of gold and a vessel of silver. That's what the Scripture says here. Didn't it say that? Read it. Is that what it's saying? It's what it says. So think about Joseph. You know who Joseph was? Okay. When Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and said, "Sleep with me," what was Joseph's response besides no? "I would not sin against my God." We have to get some of that inside of us. We're not denying the flesh because we just want to deny the flesh. We deny the flesh because we don't want to sin against God. Right? Does that make sense? Sure, it makes sense if you think about it. And he also had a dream to protect. Some dreams don't come true because they don't protect their dream. What can anybody think of a biblical example of that? The first one that comes to my mind is David. What was David's dream? Anybody know? To build a temple. What did David do? Instead of being out fighting with the kings when he should have been out fighting the war, he was wandering around on the rooftop and saw this beautiful girl naked. You know the rest of the story. Has her husband killed. Commits adultery, has her husband killed, marries her. God took away his dream. You say, well, did God forgive him?
Yes, he did.
He did. But there were consequences to his action. This is why, especially if a person has a desire to be a minister, protect your dream. Protect your dream. Because you can lose out on your dream by not keeping yourself pure. Right? Doesn't mean God can't forgive you. This is one thing I like about the United Pentecostal Church. If a minister is caught in adultery, caught cheating, they will lose their license and they will not be able to be a member, a minister in the United Pentecostal Church, and that's fine. You know why that's fine? Because if you have a line that if you know you cross that, you're going to lose everything. That's okay. And besides, if you have a pastor that's going trying to sleep with all the people in the church, what would you want him pastoring your wife or daughter? Absolutely not. Can he be forgiven and restored to God? Yes, but not going to be in the same place. So that's one thing I really do appreciate about the United Pentecostal Church. Number 12, what do we have to spiritual guidance is an important growth and part of growth and holiness? Anybody? Submission. Now, on page number 7, you got the whole answer keys if you didn't get them all. What is submission? Can somebody explain to me what submission is? Brother Rick? To give? Doing something you don't want to do. Let's use an example. I'm going to take Brother Rick out for dinner. And I want to go have American food. But Brother Rick says, no, you're taking me out. I want you to go and have... What do you think I wouldn't like?
Fish eyes.
Fish eyes, yeah. Fish eye soup. Some kinds of curry I really, really don't care for. But now, if Brother Rick is my leader, and even though I'm paying, and he says, let's go have Indian food, some Indian food I like, so it would have to be something in that I don't like, then I would say, okay, I'm going to do this for your sake. That would be submission. Submission is not when you agree. And maybe that's not the greatest example I just used. But submission is not what you agree on. Submission is you have leadership, and the leadership says, I think we ought to do it this way. And instead of fussing and fighting, you just say, you know what? That's a good idea. Okay? Let's use an example. Bible study. Brother Rod has his ideas about how Bible study ought to be taught. I have my ideas about Bible study we ought to be taught. I've worked up a whole set of lessons. We want to do discipleship. I put Brother Rod in as a discipleship teacher, and I say, I want you to teach these lessons just like this. And he's like, but I don't like doing that. Submission would be, okay, it's not a salvation issue. I'll do it. You understand? Submission is not when you agree. Submission is not Brother Leo taking out Brother Benny for Filipino food. Right? That's not submission. I don't know what you really don't like, so I can't answer that, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. Some matters are not a lack of revelation, but they are a lack of submission to God. You know who knows the difference? There's two people that know the difference. You and God. Now, God may show me, but that would only be the gift of discernment or the gift of suspicion. But truly, only you and God know whether you don't have revelation or you don't have submission to God. So consistently educate your conscience. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. To those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Think about that. To those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say, for their work is to watch over your souls, and they know that they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this joyfully and not with sorrow. That certainly would not be for your benefit. This is the part. I really don't like this scripture. You know why? Anybody know why I don't like the scripture? Because I'm one in authority. And I don't like having to tell people this. I really don't like doing this. My work is to watch over the souls of the church. Some people let me watch, some people don't. Who does he say? He says, give them reason to do this joyfully and not with sorrow, for that would certainly not be for the pastor's benefit. That's not what it says. For yours. So, I hope that as we go through these things, I hope that, has anybody learned anything tonight? All right. So let's all stay. Somebody go get my wife and let's gather up in the front and we will have our time at the altar. We'll talk to the Lord. Brother Rod, would you run back there and tell my wife that she needs to come out here yesterday? There's no audio on there because, as I said, I'm making the CDs this way. The CD is coming out very nice. There's some back there from last week. If you want to take it and listen to it, you can tell me if they're good CDs or not. I thought they were pretty good. The quality isn't 100% like they usually are, but it's about 85%. So this is a little bit easier for me to do this. So, yes, yesterday. Let's all stand. Let's gather around the front. Let's sing that song, Lord, or... Lord, prepare me, or I want to be holy like you, Lord. I want to be holy, holy like you. And let's just individually, let's talk to the Lord. Let's just pray. If you want to pray for a brother or a husband, pray for a wife. Wife, pray for a husband. Sister, pray for a sister. Pray for each other. That's good. Did you see what happened Sunday? Folks were praying for folks and the blessing was coming down. Your pastor doesn't always have to pray for you.